Start off with the Jewish calendar. The Jewish calendar goes by the lunar calendar, by the moon, so there's 354 days in a year, in contrast to a solar calendar, 365 days in a year. So basically, every year, in theory, we lose 11 days. So therefore, I just say tongue in cheek, though someone could live the same amount of hours and minutes, but they could be like a lot older, because if you take 11 days for 100 years, so you have a lot of time. But either way, so it's 354 days and 365. And also, like some other religions also go by a lunar calendar, like the Muslims. But we follow a lunar calendar, but we have what I'll call a solar correction. What I mean to say is, let's take the Muslims for a minute. Let's say they observe Ramadan, which is a fast day for 30 days. So when does it fall out? Well, it depends. It can fall at any time. In fact, it does. I remember the first time I thought about it was probably May time. I was watching the NBA playoffs, that's basketball, and there was this a born-again Muslim person who was playing, and they said he was fasting. I'm thinking, like, what do you mean? What? I watched him last year, he wasn't fasting, and then I said, oh yeah, because the lunar calendar, so therefore, it does, it comes out winter, summer, spring. I think they prefer winter. Why do I say that? Because the day ends like 5 o'clock as opposed to 9, and they're fasting all day and they eat at night. So I had a friend of mine who used to run halal meat, that's like the equivalent of kosher. So I asked him, how's business during Ramadan? He said, actually, it's even better because every night they have parties and they have a lot of food. So regardless of the lunar calendar means there are no seasons. Of course, there are seasons, but your holiday or whatever day you're observing is not going to be locked into a season. In contrast to Judaism, where it is locked into a season. So let's say Passover has to be in the spring. There's a holiday coming up we'll talk about shortly. It's called Sukkot, Tabernacles. We'll see that we're going to be building a couple of huts, meaning it's when the Jewish people left Egypt before it took 40 years to get to the land of Israel. So they didn't have any hotels or motels in the desert back then. So they used to, according to one opinion, they built tents, huts, and when they traveled, they took them down and put them back up. So therefore, that has to happen in the fall time. So therefore, certain holidays are locked into season. So therefore, if we just left it as a lunar calendar, Passover would be in the summer, winter, anytime. So therefore, so it's already set up 7 times every 19 years, so a little less than every 3 years. Again, I could look at the calendar and know exactly when they're going to do it. It's already set up in the system. And in fact, this year, we're going to have one. We're going to have a Jewish leap year. You wouldn't, by you, I mean, if you don't go by a Jewish calendar, you're not going to know there is one. But I'll explain when it's happening is because right now is Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, came out. When I say very early, I mean it came out on time, but it came out very early on the solar calendar. On the Jewish state, it comes out the same day, but it's usually never good. It's not going to be the same English state. In fact, we have a 3 to 4 week range. So, in fact, I looked this year, Rosh Hashanah was relatively early at September 7th and 8th. On the next year, I think it's September 26th or 27th. So the holidays would just be beginning next year while they're ending this year, like on the 28th. And so what we do is, if we wouldn't do a leap year, so then Rosh Hashanah would be in the summer next year. So that can't be. It has to be during the fall. So therefore, we have to do a leap year. So therefore, every 19 years, a little less than every 3 years, we add what's a leap year? So on the solar calendar, it's February 29th, one day. On the Jewish calendar, it's 29 days, it's a whole month. So we add a whole month, and the whole month we add is going to be right before Passover. So Passover will happen in the spring. So for instance, Hanukkah, which many people heard of because it's proximity to Christmas. So when back in the time when they used to say Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah, now I think it's Happy Holidays. But so people heard of Hanukkah. So this year, it's coming out at the end of November, not Christmas, Hanukkah. So November 27, 28, so therefore, because everything's early, the leap year, the extra month isn't going to be added until right before Passover, which will push Passover into like mid-April in the normal range. So therefore, we follow a lunar calendar, but we also follow the solar as well because we have to keep the seasons, and therefore the holidays have to be in the appropriate season. So therefore, we add a leap another month. What's the philosophy behind combining both? Just pick one and go with it. Why do we need to follow? Why do we actually go by a lunar, but we also have to be true to the solar? Why is it set up that way? It's set up that way because from a theological point of view, philosophical point of view, is what does the sun represent? They even have a song, sunrise, sunset. If you know where to look, so you know where to go for sunrise and you know where to go for sunset. It's consistent day in, day out. So everyone in life needs consistency. We need food on the table. We need clothes to wear. We need a roof over our heads. We need the basic things that humans and even animals need, some basics of life. So that's the sun represents stability. However, we all know you do the same thing all the time. Life becomes boring and rote. And not only physically, but spiritually, anything in life, you need creativity and change. So go try finding the moon at night. Half the month it's not visible. The other half, it's waxing bigger and smaller. I happen to be more familiar because I know from the Hebrew month. So on the Hebrew date, so we're in the beginning. We're on day 8. So when it gets to day 15, so another week, that's when you're going to see a full moon because it's the 15th in the middle of the lunar month. So I'm just more familiar with the moon because of the different Jewish observances I have. So now it's still, so therefore, but it, so what does the moon represent? Constant change and creativity. So it's, some go on a camping trip for the whole life. Some people might like it, but it might be a little much. Yeah, if you're just doing, and I'm not picking on camping trips, you're doing something, not having a job, not doing things, just going on vacation. So vacations are good to give you a refresh and to give a break and to start fresh again. So the moon represents creativity and change. So we know in life you need both. On one hand, you need a consistency day in, day out, but you also have to, the trick is to creating it within your daily routine, even if you're going to do the same thing, but you do it a little differently, you feel fresh, or else, that's how you get burnout, when you just go through the motions and do the same thing over and over again. Like for instance, like let's say teaching, which I did for many years, still do, but what's the difference between certain teachers could go 30, 40 years and it's like the first day, and others, like after a couple of years or 10 years, get burned out. And this is for any field. I'm just using teaching. The difference is, if you're teaching a subject, so it gets boring. How many times can I say the same thing over again? But if you're teaching people, every class is different. Every adult, you're talking to people who are different, and they're going to have different questions. You're going to relate differently. So then you're the same thing in your job. You might even be doing the same job. You have different people to discuss with. And jobs always change anyway today with all the changes going on in terms of the different fields. So that's the Jewish calendar. Moon, we basically follow lunar. However, we have a solar correction. And we just went through, now is known as the High Holidays time. So we just observed the Jewish New Year. See, January 1st is the secular New Year. Why is Rosh Hashanah the Jewish New Year? So historically speaking, based on Jewish tradition, well, number one is we're in the year 5782. We just started. Last year was 5781. What 5782? What happened 5782 years ago? So according to Jewish tradition, that was the creation of human beings. It was the creation of Adam and Eve. So every day, every year, I should say, on the anniversary of the creation of the world, of the creation of humans, the world was created 6 days before, but the creation of humans, so God has to review and see if he made the right choice. And therefore, to see, you know, what kind of year we're all going to have, a year of blessing, etc. So therefore, that's why it's a Jewish New Year. Parenthetically, like 5782, like, what do you mean? I thought scientists say the world's billions of years old, or a lot more than 5,007. Even though, interesting, it was a New York Times article many years ago that said the first boat was about 5,000 years ago, which happened to come about the time of Noah with the flood and the boat. But the answer is, there are many different answers, but I'll just give you one of them, or maybe I'll give you two. One of them is that, based on Maimonides, he says, because the 6 days of creation were in like 24-hour days. The 6 days of creation, it could have been each day, could have been a million years, meaning we didn't have the sun and the moon weren't created to a couple of days into creation. It's not like we had the 24-hour, so either that the 6 days, so really it's 5782 plus the 6 days of creation, then you could say it's a billion years old. That is no conflict to Judaism. Or a more mystical explanation is that there are many worlds. We have a tradition, we're in the seventh and final cycle, so many things we find could have been from, you know, whether it's dinosaur bones or any of that could have been from previous worlds. But either way, so it's not and Judaism embraces the science, so we're not in conflict if, you know, whether it's taking vaccinations or that type of thing is, you know, we work together with the science because we assume God knew the science. So, you know, even though the science is always changing, but that's how it's databased. So either way, so therefore, that's Rosh Hashanah. This coming Wednesday night, Thursday, is the end of the 10 days. 10 days of repentance begins on the Jewish New Year. And therefore culminates on this coming Thursday. Let me just point out, in Judaism, all the days begin at night. Well, of course, the sun comes out in the morning, but legally speaking, so in the secular world, if you sign a document at 12:05, I mean in the morning, then it's the next day. So for us, it's nightfall. Once nightfall comes, it's the next day. So if you're getting married at 8 o'clock at night and it's the winter, so then you have the next night, you'll have the next Hebrew date on it. So, well, how do we know we go by night? Because that's what it says in the beginning of Genesis. And it was evening, and it was day, one day. So first it says evening, then day. So from here we deduce that the day begins at night. So therefore, all our Jewish holidays begin at night. So every Friday night, the Sabbath begins. It's usually a 24-25-hour period. So it's a rolling time, so it depends during the year. So let's say right now, it starts about, let's say, from 7:30. See, the twilight's considered doubtful day, doubtful night, because the sun sets, but it's still light out. So therefore, we just go, that's why we have 25 hours instead of 24, because we have to start it before sunset, and we end at nightfall. So we get an extra, whatever, 45 minutes, an hour, whatever it might be. So therefore, let's say, it's basically 7:30 to 8:30, roughly. Let's say the fast of Yom Kippur, that I can't eat, drink, no water, no nothing. So basically around 7:30 Wednesday night, you know, to around 8:30 the following evening. So that's 24 hours of no eating or drinking. You know, of course, most people here who are elderly and sick, so of course, not. But someone who is sick or elderly and the doctor says they have to eat, so it's like it's a commandment for me to fast, it's a commandment for them to eat, because the overriding principle is you can't do anything dangerous, you gotta be healthy, because you're not good to anyone if you're dead, so therefore you gotta do everything to be as healthy as you can. So clearly there's no conflict. If someone's in a life-threatening situation or doubtful life-threatening, so of course you eat. It's not a question. So therefore, that's the Yom Kippur. So that's the 10 days of repentance. And then we move on to the next holiday, which I told you about, Sukkot, which is we're going to be building. There'll be probably one up here and another one. Now with COVID, it might be a little less, but we're still hopefully coming to the end of it. So we have, so for 8 days, I eat outside, meaning outside in the sukkah. And again, it's weather permitting, because the tradition is you dwell in the sukkah, in the hut, like you would your own home. So just like if you have a leak in your ceiling in the kitchen, you're not going to eat in the kitchen, you move to another room. So too, if it's raining, there's like a leak in the roof, and therefore you go inside. Again, to be a kosher sukkah has to be able, the rain has to be able to go through. Or else you could just build a nice cover, and then, you know, it'll be like a permanent structure. So therefore, that's one thing we have, is the traveling. Another one you might see, depending on what time you're working, but I'll be walking around. It's something called the four species. It's called, like, the lulav will be a long branch, like a palm branch, and then there'll be myrtles and willows, and then there'll be something that looks like a lemon, but it's actually an estrog, and instead of being three for a dollar, that could be anywhere, you know, I mean, between 50 and 100, some actually sell for, like, many hundred and thousands, but those are special. So those are the four species. They represent, different explanations, but they represent different parts of the body. So the esrog, the lemon, represents the heart. The palm branch is the spine. The others represent the eyes and mouth. And to show, right after we just survived the 10 days of repentance, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and hopefully we all ran up for a good life, so we put our whole body into it and show God, you know, we're going to try to be better this year. So therefore we have the four species, and that's why in the temple, even though they used to bring wine libations, but on this holiday they brought water libations. Why? Because, I mean, we see it all the time, unfortunately. I don't know if there are more, but we definitely see a lot more with modern technology and everything else. All these different disasters, earthquakes or tornadoes. And you see, when they're interviewing the family, oh, we're just so happy to be alive. We don't care so much about the three homes, the six cars, everything else. That's so too. We just survived the Jewish New Year and the Day of Atonement, so even water makes us happy. The fact is too that we're alive and we're here. As it says, who's the wealthy person? The one who has eyes, who has a mouth, who has arms and legs. That's the person who's wealthy. That in terms of, we all know you need, for anything else to be important, you need, the first step has to be health. So that's the holiday of Sukkot. And then Chanukah this year will be the end of November. That's a rabbinical holiday, but has to do with that the Syrian Greeks wanted to destroy Judaism, not necessarily the Jewish people. They wanted to destroy the religion. In fact, in the 20th century, we had two different, we meaning the Jewish people, had two different fights. One was Hitler, who we tried to physically kill all the Jews, and then we had Stalin in Russia, in communist Russia, who wasn't just against the Jews, but he banned all religion. So Hitler tried to kill the Jews, and Stalin tried to destroy Judaism. So that was Chanukah. Chanukah was, it wasn't a physical attack, it was a spiritual attack, which led to fighting because they wanted us to stop keeping the laws. That was Chanukah. And then Passover we'll have in the spring. That'll be the one when we celebrate our exodus from Egypt. Those are some of the major holidays. And the last one after Passover is not well known, even though it's probably one of the most important. It's called Shavuot, Shavuot. It's 7 weeks after Passover. It's when we got the Bible at Mount Sinai. So that's those are the three special holidays plus the high holidays. So that's how the lunar calendar, the solar calendar, and the different holidays. Any